Welcome back to the OU Nachyomi Project in our series on the book of Divrei Hayamim Aleph. In today's show, we study Perek Chafei, chapter 25. As usual, our series is sponsored with the help of the Cyprus Foundation in conjunction with the Tanakh Study Center, tanakh.org. At first glance, chapter 25 doesn't seem very interesting. Once again, we find a list of the division into 24 groups. Just like in chapter 24, we divided the Kohanim, we divided the priests into 24 groups. In chapter 25, we're going to find a similar division of the Levites into 24 groups. And even though we had divisions of Levites before, that was for administrative reasons. Those were jobs where they helped the Kohanim. The division of the Levim in chapter 25 will be into different groups of choirs. And this will be the group of Levim who were in charge of the singing and the composition of music and singing of the Psalms in the Beit HaMikdash that were first instituted in the time period of David HaMelech. Even though this appears to be rather technical, there's something very important here, not only for the beginning of the Second Temple period, which we'll see in detail as we continue our shir, but for our own time period as well, because recall, most of our prayers, half of the things that we say in daily davening, come from Sefer Tehillim. Whenever we're in trouble, we open up the book of Tehillim, and in many ways Tehillim is a language by which we talk to God. The composition of Tehillim, the book that we have today, the majority of its composition began in the time period of David HaMelech. The people responsible for the composition of most of the prakim, of most of the psalms in Tehillim, are from this group that we're going to discuss in today's shir. The entire movement to sing God's praises, both to turn to Him when in trouble and thank Him for salvation, as well as finding God even in nature, even when we're not in trouble, that is what made David HaMelech special. David HaMelech expresses his feelings and emotions and his connection to God through Sefer Tehillim, but it's not only David HaMelech himself who's composing these chapters of Tehillim. It was through the inspiration of David that began this entire national movement of returning to God. The Levites who assisted David, we're going to hear about them in today's shir. We're also going to find a very interesting use of names in this division into 24 groups, as we'll see towards the end of our shir. So let's begin with Pasuk Aleph. As we would expect, the opening Pasuk is going to introduce the topic. Pasuk Aleph. Vayavdel David v'sarei hatzava l'avodah. David, together with the officers. The word sabah here is not in the military sense, meaning an army, but all the workers of Levim, the entire administration, is known as tzva l'avodah. Even the word tzvaot, like we have in the seventh day of creation, v'chulu hashamayim v'aretz v'chot tzva'am. Whenever we have a very large system and a very large administration, that entire conglomerate is known as tzvaot. Because we have a very large administration now of Levim that are not only singing in the Beit HaMikdash, but also taking care of the administration and the organization and the sacrificial offerings and teaching the Torah and the system of justice, there were a set of officers who were in charge of all this. Those were Sarei HaTzava L'Avodah. And David consulted with them, and they decided on a special group of Levim who were going to be in charge of the singing. So let's return now to Pasuk Aleph. Vayavdel David v'Sarei HaTzava L'Avodah livnei Asaf v'Heman v'Dutun hanib'im b'chinorot b'nvalim u'b'mitzataim. So let's see now who David and these officers separated. Livnei Asaf ve'Heman v'Yedutun. There were three basic groups of Levim from the descendants of Asaf, from Heman and Yedutun. Each one represents one of the three families of Levi. Asaf is a descendant of Gershon. Heman is the grandson of Shmuel Navi and hence a descendant of Kahat. We recall that Shmuel HaNavi was a descendant of Korach, and we know that the children of Korach did not die. Heman, the grandson of Shmuel HaNavi from his son Yoel, was also one of the key Levim. We'll see his family very soon. Vidutun was a descendant of the house of Merari. We need to divide the Levim and this choir into 24 different groups to correspond to the 24 Mishmarot of the Kohanim, who take turns working in the Beit HaMikdash each week. We're going to take these three families and divide them into 24 Mishmarot as well, to be in charge of the singing and the musical instruments. The Pasuk now continues, Hanib'im b'chinorot b'nvalim u'b'mitzaltaim. The word here, Nevi'im, is very interesting. It's written Nevi'im, like the word Nevi'im, prophets. But these are Levites who are singing. So why are they called prophets? The word Lenabe also means the movement of lips or making sound. If you recall the Haftarah, which we read on Yom Kippur, Yeshayahu says, Borei Niv Sfatayim, chapter 57 in Yeshayahu. He mentions God who created the movement of lips. We explained earlier that a Navi is called a Navi because he's God's spokesperson. Because these Levim are singing and making sounds both with their mouths and also with the musical instruments. The simple meaning of the word Nevim means that these Levim were in charge of speaking and singing God's praises. However, there's something prophetic about the composition of these Tehillim, which we're going to see, and therefore writing the word like Nevi'im, calling them prophets, and pronouncing the word nidim, like making sounds, is very meaningful in this context. Now we're going to mention three types of musical instruments which were used by the Levim when they sang the Psalms. Chinorot is translated as a lyre, L-Y-R-E, and Nevalim is plural of the harp. The difference between a harp and a lyre is quite simple. A kinor is like a bow that comes with a bow and arrow, where you have a set of strings attached to a triangular-shaped bow. The length of the strings get larger and larger as we get towards the end of the bow. Each note will depend on the length of the string that the musician is going to play using the kinor. In contrast to that, the harp, that is a U-shaped instrument, where all the strings are the same length, and the different sounds are created by holding down some of the strings, creating chords, and hence music, based on the strings which are held down by the different fingers when the musician is playing the instrument. Mitzatayim are cymbals. Pasuk Aleph concludes, Vahi Misparam, what's coming up will be the number of the Levim. Vahi Misparam Anshei Melacha Lavodotam. And what's going to come now will be a list of these men and their numbers who perform this work according to their service. Now that we mentioned that Asaf, Heman, and Yedutun were the three leaders of the groups, now we have to see which groups were under each leader. Pasuk Bet, Livnei Asaf, the children of Asaf were Zakur, V'Yosef, V'Netanya, V'Asraela, Bnei Asaf. Four children of Asaf, and hence four of the 24 Mishmarot, were these four names. V'Ayidei Asaf, Haniba, Ayidei HaMelech. They were taught, these four sons of Asaf were taught by Asaf himself, and Asaf was taught and guided by David HaMelech. As it says, Haniba, Ayidei HaMelech. Pasuk Gimel now, we'll get the groups under Yedutun, and here we'll find six groups. Li Yedutun, Bnei Yedutun, Gedalyahu, Utsri, Vishayahu, Chashavyahu, Umatityahu, Shisha. Aidei Avihem, Yedutun Bakinor, Haniba, Ahodot, Bahalal, Adonai. There are six Mishmarot of Levim, descendants of Yedutun. Even though we only have five names, most of the commentators say that there was a sixth son whose name only comes later on because at the time when they were first divided, he might have been too young or not ready yet. But they say from the children of Yedutun, one extra group, and that will be group six. There were six groups, six Mishmarot, descendants of Yedutun. One interesting name, the last one, Matityahu, is a very popular name in the Second Temple period. If you recall the story of the Chashmonaim, the leader of the family, his name was Matityahu. Of course, he was a Kohen, but we see that's a popular name in the Second Temple period as well. They were taught Aidei Avihem Yedutun Bekinor. Yedutun must have been the expert in playing the lyre, the kinor. They were taught by their father, Haniba Al Hodot V'Halel Ladunai. He was famous for his prophecy, or his music, as we explained before. Niba can have a double meaning. A Hodot, which is gratitude to God, thanking God, and Hallel, praising God, as we find over Tehillim. Throughout Tehillim, we thank God for His salvation, we praise God for His greatness, and continuing to oversee His creation. So we cover now the families of Asaf and Yedutun, a total of 4 and 6, or hence 10 Mishmarot, and the remaining 14 Mishmarot are going to be descendants of the family of Heman. Recall again, Heman is the grandson of Shmuel Hanavi. Leheman b'nei Heman, the children of Heman, Bukiyahu, Matanyahu, Uziel, Shvuel, Birimot, Hananya, Hanani. We'll stop here in the middle of the pasuk. Soon we'll see why. These first seven names are classic names we find in the First Temple period and the Second Temple period. But the next seven names, listen to them carefully. These are the only times we find names like these, and they're very special. Eliata, Gidalti, Vromamti, Ezer, Yashbakasha, Maloti, Hotir, Machaziot. Each one of them does not sound like a regular name. Eliata sounds like the pasuk in Tehillim, which we know from the end of Hallel, Eliata va'odeka. Eliata means, you are my God. Gidalti v'romamti, that's I made God great, I glorified Him, I elevated Him. But those aren't names of children. Gidalti and romamti are not classic names that we find either in the first or second temple period. Yesh bakasha sounds like there is a request. That's a very strange name. We don't find anything similar to that. Maloti, not clear what that means. Hotir means leftover. Machaziot, visions. But when you listen to these names, immediately comes to mind the Nevuot of Yishayel. The giveaway is Gidalti V'Romamti. That's in the opening lines of the Nevuot of Yishayel in Perek Aleph that we read on Shabbat Chazon, the Shabbat before Tisha B'Av. And remember the opening word, Chazon Yishayel Ben Amotz, Asher Chazal Yudav Yerushalayim. And recall that the last name in this group is called Machaziot, which sounds like the word Chazon, or Machazeh, a vision. What we're going to claim is these names are intentionally modeled after the opening chapter of Sefer Yishayahu, and for a very good reason. So let's take a look at each of these. Eliata could be anywhere in Tehillim, But Gidalti v'romamte ezer comes from Pasuk Bet in Yeshayahu. Shimu shemayim vazini aretz ki Hashem diber. Banim gidalti v'romamte v'hem pashubi. God is complaining, I raised my children and made them great, but they rebelled against me. The next name, Yesh Bakasha, several psukim later in the opening chapter of Yeshayahu, in Pasuk Yod Aleph, Yeshayahu complains, Lama li rov ziv chechem, yomar Hashem. Why do I need all of your offerings? Savati olot elim v'chelem reim. I'm satiated already with all these offerings, with these burnt offerings. V'dam parim u'kfasim v'atudim l'chafatzti. I'm not interested in the blood of all these cows and lambs and sheep. And then he continues in Pasuk Yud Bet, Ki tavo l'ra'ot panai, when you come to be seen by me, when you come for Aliyah l'regel, mi bikesh zot mi'etchem r'mos chatzerai, who asked you to come here and trespass in my house? God is basically saying that you, the people of Israel, are not wanted visitors. And look at the wording again, mi bikesh zot mi'etchem r'mos chatzerai. And therefore, when we have the name Yesh Bakasha, it definitely rings from this rebuke of Yeshayahu, mi bikesh zot mi'etchem r'mos chatzerai. The next name, Maloti, it could be this relates to the Pasuk, found several Pasukim later, when Yeshayahu is complaining about the way they daven. And if so, it would be very meaningful to this topic. Uvafarischem kapechem, ali menamikem, when you lift up your hands in prayer and turn to me and daven to me, I'm going to hide my eyes from you. Gamki terbut tfila ineni shomea. When you continue to pray over and over again, I'm not going to listen. Why? Yidechem damim maleo. Your hands are full of blood. So here we have the word of lemale, to fill. And here we have the word maloti. The Navi follows with the rebuke, rachatzu hisaku hasiu roma lelechem mineged einai. Chilu harea. Clean yourselves up. Purify yourself. Get rid of your bad ways. Stop doing evil. Limdu heteb dershu mishpat asru chamotz. Do justice. Get rid of iniquity. Judge the orphan. Take care of the widow. Another source for maloti could also be in Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Eichai talizona kiryan emana. What happened to the city that was once faithful to me? And now it's acting like a harlot. Meleti mishpat tzedek elimba. At once it was filled with justice and had righteousness, and now it's full of murders. From either of those two psukim might be the source of the name Maloti. And then hotir, that's quite obviously going back to Pasuk Tet. Lulei Hashem tzvot hotir lanu srit kimat kistomayinu lamro deminu. Had God not left us over just this little remnant, hotir means to leave a little bit over, we would have been destroyed like Sodom and Gomorrah, because we acted like Sodom and Gomorrah. And finally, Machaziyot goes back to the opening line of Chazon, as in Chazon Yishael ben Amos, Asher Chazau Yudav Yerushalayim. Add to the fact that these names are only found here, and they're very strange names, not names we find anywhere else in Tanakh, and all of them just so happen to be from Yishael, these seven last Mishmarot of the Levim, who are in charge of singing now in the Beit HaMikdash in the beginning of the Second Temple period, is a beautiful play on words, and a very meaningful play on words, of the Nevuah of Yishael. Recall the Yishael's opening chapter, is reflective of his entire book. Yishael's primary complaint is about how the nation misunderstands the very purpose of the temple and the very purpose of prayer. The people indeed come to the Beit HaMikdash, they pray to God and they offer sacrifices. However, they have a tragic misunderstanding. They think that God is working for them, God is some type of a vending machine, and if they pray enough to him or they bring enough korbanot, enough offerings, they'll get God on his side. What they don't understand is that they're supposed to be working for God. What God wants them to do is do justice and righteousness and be this ideal nation, represent God properly among the nations, create this ideal society. In order to remember your covenantal commitment, to understand and remember that you're God's servant, there's a value in coming to the Beit HaMikdash, to pray to God, to turn to God, in order that He can help you help Him. We ask for wealth and prosperity and health in order that we will be able to help Him. But we're not praying to God in order that He'll give us prosperity. We're asking God, give us prosperity so that we can help you. If the prophetic leaders of the Second Temple period, who we claim are the authors of the book of Divrei Hayamim, are trying to give this message to the builders of the Second Temple and to its leaders, and we indeed are going to return to service of God in the Beit HaMikdash, it will be important to remind the people not to make the same mistakes that the people of the First Temple made. By giving these special names to these Mishmarot of Levim, to these choir groups, that obviously remind us of the Nevuot of Yishayahu and his harsh rebuke, as the people come to the Beit HaMikdash and they pray to God using these verses of Tehillim, and they come to the Beit HaMikdash and offer sacrifices, this will be a very vivid reminder of the harsh words of Yishayahu, that any member of Israel, when they turn to God in prayer, or they come and bring sacrifices to God, must remember that message. Because otherwise, because without understanding and internalizing the message of Yishayahu, there's no point in rebuilding the Second Temple, and there's no point to the return of bringing sacrificial offerings to God, or singing His praises, if the core values of Judaism aren't taught at the same time. So to summarize, we see these names, which appear to be very technical, even very cute, behind them might be a very powerful message, and hence, in the opening line, when we describe Asaf, Heman, and Idutun as Nevi'im, who on the one hand are making sounds, or singing God's praises, but also written as Nevi'im, because their songs are prophetic, the names of these groups of Nevi'im remind us of very important prophecies of the great prophets of the first temple period, and the hope of the leaders of the second temple period is going to be that the new generation won't repeat the mistakes of the first temple period and lead the people in the proper direction. Let's continue now with Pasuk Hey. Ko ele banim lehiman chozeh ha-melech b'divrei Elohim laharim keren. All these 14 names, the 7 regular names and the 7 special names, these were all sons of Heman. Chozeh ha-melech, earlier we had Gad ha-Chozeh, one of David's prophets. His name was Gad. He was referred to as Gad ha-Chozeh. So Heman was also a Chozeh ha-Melech b'divrei Elohim larim keren. He assisted David with the words of God, but he assisted David in a way to raise God's glory, larim keren, like we have in Tehillim, v'yarim keren lamo tila l'chol chasidav. All these children of Heman helped sing the praises of God as organized by the king in the time of David ha-Melech. V'yitein ha-Elohim leheman banim arbasar u'benot shalosh. And God had blessed Heman with 14 boys and 3 girls, and those are the 14 families, the Mishmarot, from the family of Heman. Pasuk Vav, Ko ele aidei avihem, v'shir beit Adonai. All these children were taught by their father Heman about how to sing in the house of God. B'mtzaltayim, nevalim v'chinorot, again with cymbals, harps, and lyres. La'avodat beit Elohim, for the service in God's house, what we call singing psalms or singing tehillim. Ayidei ha-melech, all organized by the king, here referring to David ha-melech. Asaf, Idutun, v'Heman, together with the 3 leaders, Asaf, Idutun, and Heman. Pasuk Zayin, verse 7, concludes these introductory psukim. V'hi misparam imachem. Now we get the total number that was already introduced in the beginning of the parak. Now we get their number. V'hi misparam imachem. Mulumdei shir l'Adonai. Their numbers, together with all their brethren, these were experts in singing God's praises. Ko hamivin. All those who were understood and knew music, knew how to sing and compose music and to play these musical instruments. Matayim shmonim u'shmona. 288. V'yapilu gorolot mishmeret. All these 288 Levites who were expertise in their field, they did a lottery to decide what would be the order of their different groups or different mishmarot. Lumat kakaton kagado mevin im tamid. No matter whether someone was big or small, of high stature or lower stature, a mevin, someone who really understood how to sing properly, or im tamid, with a student, experts and also apprentices, everyone was equal in this lottery. And from these 288 levim, we divide them now into 24 groups. Do the math, it's very easy. If there's 288 levim and I divide them into 24 groups, there'll be 12 levim in each group, as we'll see in the list that's going to follow. You might ask a question here. If the names of these levim and these mishmot of levim reflect a nevuah of Yishayahu, we know Yishayahu is much later than David. And how would levim in the time of Asaf know what Yishayahu is going to say hundreds of years later? I think what we have here is a classic example of what happens in Divrei HaYamim. Recall once again that Divrei HaYamim is being written in the beginning of the Second Temple period. But the hope is that we can correct the mistakes of the First Temple period. We're describing the great efforts and all the administrative steps that David HaMelech made to begin the First Temple in the right direction. He becomes our model of behavior. The names of these Mishmarot are indeed the names of the Mishmarot in the beginning of the Second Temple period. But we're treating these names as though they existed already in the beginning of the First Temple period. We find something very similar in the book of Devarim. When Moshe Rabbeinu gives his final speech in the 40th year, he talks to Am Yisrael, well aware it's a new generation and the first generation had died. But when he talks to that generation, he talks to them as though they themselves went out of Egypt. He constantly talks to the nation, fully aware it's 40 years later, but treats them as though they themselves went out of Egypt. The reason for that, though, is simple. It's because the new generation is fulfilling what should have been done by the first generation. I treat them as though they were the first generation. And the same thing now in the beginning of the Second Temple period, because the people in the Second Temple period have to fix the mistakes of the First Temple period and want to get off to a good start again, we're going to treat the beginning of the First Temple period and describe it in a manner that reflects what's happening in the beginning of the Second Temple period. That background can help explain many of the discrepancies between the names that we find in Divrei HaYamim and the names we find in Sefer Ezra, in Nehemiah, and earlier in Divrei HaYamim, in the first 9 chapters with the genealogies. To deal with that would require a shir and iyun, way beyond the scope of our Nachyomi series, but something to think about for those bothered by all the discrepancies between what we find in the Second Temple period and what they claim here was happening in the First Temple period. Let's continue now with Pasuk Tet. V'yitzei ha-gorah ha-rishon la'asaf li'yosef, g'dayahu ha-sheni, hu ve'chav u'banav, 12. So the first goral, when they did this lottery, The first Mishmar goes to the family of Asaf and to his son Yosef, and Gedaliah, his second son, he got the second Mishmar. We'll read quickly now from Pasuk Yud, and you'll see why there's no reason to translate. We have a list now of the 24 Mishmarot, name by name, all the names you've already seen. We know we have to get to 24. We know each group is 12. In a poetic manner, they'll all be listed now as follows. Pasuk Yud, Hashlishi Zakur, Banav Ve'achav Shneimasar. Harevi, the fourth, is Yitzri, Banav Ve'achav Shneimasar. His children and his brethren, 12. Recall, every group has 12. Times 24 will get us to 288. Hachemishi Netanyahu, Banav Ve'achav Shneimasar. Hashishi Bukiyahu, Banav Ve'achav Shneimasar. Hashvi Yisraela, Banav Ve'achav Shneimasar. And the list goes on. Hashmini Yishayahu, Banav Ve'achav Shneimasar. Hachi Netanyahu, Banav Ve'achav Shneimasar. Hasiri, the tenth, is Shimi, Banav Ve'achav Shneimasar. The 11th, Ashteyasar Azriel, Banav Ve'achav Shneimasar. Hashneimasar Lachashavya, the 12th, Chashavya, Banav Ve'achav Shneimasar. Lashloshasar Shuvael, Banav Ve'achav Shneimasar. Labasar Matityahu, Banav Ve'achav Shneimasar. Lachamishasar, the 15th, is Yeremot, Banav Ve'achav Shneimasar. Lashishasar Lechananyahu, Banav Ve'achav Shneimasar. And now we're going to get the interesting names that we saw before. The Shivasar, number 17, was Yish Bakasha. Remember, Bikesh Zot Mietchem Ramos Hatzirai. Yish Bakasha is number 17. Banav Ve'achav Shneimasar. Lishmonasar Hanani. Letishasar Lemaloti. Banav Ve'achav Shneimasar. Lesrim Le'eliata, as we mentioned before, number 20. Lachad Ve'esrim Lehotir. Hotir was group 21. Banav Ve'achav Shneimasar. Lishnaim Ve'esrim Legidalti. Group 22 was named Gidalti. His sons and his brethren, 12. Lishlosh asar machazayot, Banav Ve'achav Shneimasar. And the last one, La'arba Ve'esrim, Romamti Ezer, Banav Ve'achav Shneimasar. Romamti Ezer was group 24. So these are the 24 Mishmarot of Levi'im. These were their names in the second temple period, reflecting what already began in the time of David in the first temple period, and in a very beautiful way reflecting the rebuke of Yishayahu, especially Yishayahu Perak Aleph, a constant reminder to the Jews coming to David at the Beit HaMikdash in the second temple period to remember the message of Yishayahu to make sure that the second one will be more successful than the first. In the next chapter, in chapter 26, we'll discuss the gatekeepers, the Shoarim, now that we finish the Meshoarim, the Levim who were singing.